Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah, yeah. That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace.
Trouble, I'm in a pickle. One guy, not enough, better double. Who could better tell you what to do than if I were you? My father, my brother, my sister, my daughter, my friends all hate me. I don't know why. Maybe it has to do with the fact that I get so high. Or maybe because I cheated on her. I'm a cat murderer. He's my best bro, but I still think she likes me better. My wife give handjob on a tour bus. I have issues with trust. Wanna hear my problem? Cause I tell you if I must. Tell you what to do if only I were you.
Pierre Caillers.
Was that sublime?
It was reggae.
It was sublime.
It was sublime to listen to.
No, it was actually Sublime, the band.
Oh.
I think Bradley Noel
himself
rose from the dead.
What sublime song did it sound like?
Mucho gusto, me llamo Bradley.
Yeah. I am a Takate Ron Jeremy.
I am a Takate Ron Jeremy.
Yeah. That's I didn't know he had the G.I. Joe Kung Fu grip.
You didn't know he had the G.I. Joe? That's a part about somebody jerking him off.
What?
I didn't know she had the G.I. Joe Kung Fu grip.
Caress me down.
And I say, ooh.
Oh, that's him getting J-O.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. He said he hadn't heard, or Pierre, the guy who wrote this song, said he hadn't heard us play a reggae song, so he wrote one for us.
Very cool.
Talented guy. Thank you.
Reggaeton.
No, just reggae.
Reggaeton.
That's reggae with an air horn.
I got it.
We just scarfed down food really quickly.
Yep.
Made me think yet again about what a bad eater I am.
You were like hunched over the desk, yeah, just sort of shoveling food into your face.
Right. Like, does this happen to other people? Like, some sandwiches I can't eat because the bread is too hard and the ingredients are like soft. Mm-hmm. I think it's because I don't have a bite.
like my teeth don't look at this.
Oh yeah.
So like I'll bite down on something and pull the sandwich away, and then like a piece of chicken will just slide out from in between the bun and just stay in my teeth.
The same thing. I think I just don't have sharp teeth. Oh. I think it's hard for them to cut through
the meat,
the bread and the meat.
We weren't made to eat. Evolutionarily, we should be dead. But like, I'm in like the bottom 5% of eating normally. Like if it's a burrito, I can't eat it. Like it'll just come apart. Food will fall all over my lap. I have to eat pizza with a fork and a knife.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I'm a dummy. Do you like taking big bites?
Yes.
I think that's part of the issue.
Shovel food into my, like, I'm just so excited.
But that's
not
because, like, that's, you don't know how. It's because, like, I am the same way. You just want a ton of food. Just
right.
Like, I want to take one bite of a sandwich, and then I'm not going to put it down and chew. I'm
going to
take one bite, and then a second bite.
And right, and then I'm still chewing while I'm putting another bite into my mouth.
I'm the same way.
It's that's bad.
Why, yeah. It's bad etiquette, bad form. I wouldn't blame the bite. I would... It's definitely more an attitude thing.
Have you ever not ordered something at a restaurant because you're with somebody you wanted to impress and you're like, I can't eat that like a normal person?
Yeah, I think it's more I want to like have the guise of being like slightly healthier than I am.
Right.
But I guess like I wouldn't normally, if it was like a date, I wouldn't get a burger because I think...
Oh, that's the sloppy festival right there.
Yeah.
A thick, juicy burger. It's going to be like dripping on my chin, dripping on the plate. I have bad posture when I'm eating it.
Right. You can't even like engage in a normal conversation because your shoulders come up to your ears.
I'm like Quasimodo. Just shoving a fowl into my open hole.
My friends told me, like, two of my friends have pointed it out to me that I eat sandwiches like I'm doing the chicken dance or something. Like, my arms are just like, my elbows are straight out to the side.
Yeah.
Like, look at this is how you could eat a sandwich. There's no reason for the elbows to go out.
Right, like elbows in, bite.
Elbows in.
Bite put the sandwich down.
I'm just like, I need it to be coming at me from like above my head.
Your elbows are out. They're fully akimbo, I would say.
They are quite akimbo.
Absolutely akimbo. A toot.
Chair.
Also, when I'm like trying to eat with somebody I'm trying to impress, whether it be a lady or adults, I'll be like, all right, when the food comes...
The ladies you date aren't adults?
No, most of them are little girls. I'm like, when the food comes, don't eat as fast as... Like, when I'm alone, the way I eat, it looks like I have to eat over a garbage can in 2 minutes or less. Like, it's a
Sometimes
competition.
You do eat over a garbage can.
Yeah, a garbage can over a sink. Yeah, because it'll just drop and fall. I'm eliminating the middleman. So, and I'm like, all right, food comes, act cool, eat slowly, be chill. Chew with your mouth closed, don't talk.
Can you do that?
No, because then the food comes and I awaken half an hour later and I'm like, what happened?
You're Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah. I don't remember eating politely. I've only imagined looking at my food for half an hour straight and I look up and the meal is over. I'm like, oh shit, I did everything I said I wouldn't do.
What you guys just saw wasn't me.
I left here and I went somewhere else. And the slob that you saw before you was a zombie slob.
I was
slob.
Floating above the table looking down
judging.
At this angry animal, at a pig at a trough.
Here's a sad story from my life that I can talk about because it just triggered. I think every single one of my ex-girlfriends has told me that I chew with my mouth open. They find it disgusting.
Really?
Yeah. They're like, you eat grossly. And I mean, it's true. I did. I do. but one time I was at a cafe, not even a restaurant, a cafe with an ex. It was a current girlfriend at the time.
Right.
My ex-girlfriend now.
Yes.
I don't have to specify that.
You didn't have to, but you did, so don't backtrack.
I'm at a cafe. They serve coffee. They also serve sandwiches and salads. And I'm eating a sandwich, talking to her. Presumably, I have food in my mouth because I don't care to talk. I don't care if I have food in my mouth when I talk. And some guy, I was like 22. I wasn't like a full... Like, now when adults talk to me, down to me, I have like sort of like... Hey, I'm also an adult. You can't do that, actually. And I'm, like, sniveling back. But when I was 22, I was just like, yes, sir, I'm sorry. And I was eating, talking to a lady. And the guy sitting next to me, he's like, I'm sorry, can you eat with your mouth? Can you chew with your mouth closed? The sound is disgusting. And
you said, I'm sorry?
No, I was just like, I'm like... I probably did say I'm sorry, but I was just so mortified, and my girlfriend at the time like had to stand up for me even though she agreed with him, and it felt like extra sad because instead of her being like, see, I told you so, she's like, hey, like, leave him alone. And I was like, oh, both of you don't like the way I do it, and now my girlfriend is standing up for me.
They actually ended up dating.
They left together. They said, actually, you know, I do, can we get coffee sometime? There's a lot of shit I'd like to talk to you about. Yeah, that was a sad moment in my life. 10 years later, still haven't learned my lesson.
Well, at least now if somebody said, chew with your mouth closed, it's disgusting, you would tell them to fuck off.
But do right? more. Yeah, I would maybe like answer sarcastically or be like, you know, I can do whatever I want to do. Or like, oh, I'm sorry, and like spit food into his
That's
face.
That's what I would do.
But do I eat very differently when I'm alone? And like when I'm alone, even more so, I'm just like no holds barred. Like you saw me what I was doing with the sandwich. Like
I've eaten,
shit was spilling out. There was food all over my hands. I didn't really even want to.
But you know, I've eaten more than once. I've eaten dinner so fast in the privacy of my own home that I threw up. It's happened more than one time.
That is a new level. You
I ate so fast and so much that I like vomited.
You are a sheep.
I was like,
you are a lamb. You are a ewe. Well, left to your own devices, you will eat until you vomit.
Let me tell you, my problem is that I don't snack. I only eat meals.
Oh,
because
yeah,
I just don't get hungry throughout the day. So I'm not like, but it doesn't like come in little waves. It's like it comes in one tidal wave when it's dinner time. So like I'll get home from work, like, oh, whatever, I'm not hungry, I haven't eaten since lunch, and then all of a sudden it's like 8 p.m.
or later.
I'm like, yeah, I'm like 10. Oh fuck, I need to eat.
Yeah.
And I would do this thing where I would like make pasta and then I would like put I'd put like pasta and
boil egg noodles.
So I would make like macaroni and cheese, and I'm like, well, that's not good enough. I can't just have macaroni and cheese. And I would be like, oh, there's like a bunch of turkey here. So I would like put deli meat turkey in it, and then I would like cover the entire thing in sriracha. And like add just like adding any
like a 6-year-old chef,
right?
Just like, this tastes good.
It was
I'll
like
add
I
it
was
to
a
this.
Kid
this tastes
a potion.
Good. Yeah,
and it just. So much garbage, and then I would scarf it and eat it so quickly, and then I would more than once I threw up because I ate way too much.
When I imagine you eating, this is like this when you long after you die, and I'm just still around thinking about you still
long after,
and I imagine you eating, the image of you that's most burned in my mind is you putting 3 to 4 potato chips in your mouth at the same time.
Yeah,
which are hard to do. Like, potato chips aren't malleable. Like, you have to really open your mouth wide and try.
Yeah, I like to make a
bite. And they're not like Pringles.
Too big.
Yeah, they're not Pringles where they're easily stacked. It's just like 4 Ruffles, basically.
Yeah, and I'll arrange them to the point where they're
stacked. Yeah, you're like, all right, now this is a stack of fried potato.
That's a good
bite. And then
see, I don't think I've ever had a girlfriend be like, the way you eat is disgusting, but they are all impressed by the size of bites that I can take.
Yeah, that's them being disgusted. When
no,
they say
they're impressed.
They're not depressed, they are impressed.
I don't think I've ever had anybody tell me to, like, I do, because I chew with my mouth closed.
Right.
I just eat really, really fast.
But do you do that in the presence of ladies? Or do you try to calm yourself down?
If it's somebody I'm comfortable with, I'll eat.
It'd be interesting to go
back
and ask them.
But, like, gone out to dinner with, like, somebody's parents or something, and
you have to be very self-conscious.
Try really hard.
Or, like, I'll get salad. If I eat it with a fork and a knife, I can, like, ration it a little bit.
You lasted a long time with your salad last night.
Yeah.
I eat like I'm in a race. Like, it's a contest.
Yeah, you're in a rush.
And even when I, like, when I'm, like, half-paced.
Like, when you're eating half a bowl of paste.
Yeah, when I'm eating half a bowl of my sriracha mac and cheese paste,
yeah.
I will, like, I'll still beat everybody. I'm just that quick.
Yeah. You're eager. It is true. The line graph of your hunger is like, I'm starving, 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 so full I can puke.
Yeah.
Starving, 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 so full I can vomit. Starving, starving.
I have an eating disorder, but not like on purpose.
Yeah. I'm just bad. It's in a bad order. Whereas I just like snack throughout the day. I never allow myself to get too,
you're hungry.
Yeah, starving.
Well, I don't, yeah, like I said.
I haven't been hungry in a year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not true. You were hungry yesterday.
Yeah, I was starving.
Okay. But not hungry.
No, not hungry. I wasn't hungry.
Between extremes.
All right. So this is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the
internet.
Are we
really going to do the show now?
Well, yeah. I mean, we'll still have half an hour to go. I don't know what else to say. I'm a disgusting man.
We do eat the same, but different.
We eat the same way, but not the same food.
I think that you're slightly sloppier. Like, more stuff will fall off of your plate and
yeah.
be, like, on your face. And I probably overeat more.
Right. And when I get food on my fingers, it grosses me out to lick my own fingers.
Oh, yeah. I never do that.
So I'm just, like, I just deal with this. Like, right now I had a chicken pesto sandwich where the bread was really good. But, again, crispy outside. The inside was so wet.
Tough, yeah.
That I just take one bite and everything slides out of the underside.
Mm-hmm.
Then I start, like, picking it up and trying to form my own sandwich using, like, half the piece of bread and, like, the wet chicken.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm like holding it with two fingers and I bite into it and sauce comes out of the side. Then, like, a tomato slides out. My hands and fingers are, like, covered in hot dressing.
This is our live podcast for everybody listening. We are in front of sold out theater in Melbourne.
Deafening silence.
That would be so funny.
So I don't know where I was. It's bad.
It's disgusting. And I've had strangers tell me I was a bad eater.
Of course. And they should have. And I still haven't quite learned. Maybe I'll actually make a conscious effort to change. Maybe that's why I have never cared enough to change. Otherwise, I would have changed.
That's such a last thing for me. Like, I've got so much more to figure out.
Yeah, you have so many problems in life.
Not problem, but like, if I'm making myself a better person, I'm going to try to nail down like almost everything. And then I can't imagine having my life so perfectly together that I'm like, all right, this week I'm going to buy a soap dish to learn how to eat.
And then I can finally kill myself, for I've perfected human.
I've checked every single box.
But, like, can't you imagine, like, Matt Damon when he eats a wrap, it doesn't spill at all?
Yeah, I wonder what, like, Google what does Matt Damon eat for lunch?
Yeah, when you see Matt Damon eating a burrito, I don't see it getting everywhere.
Because he probably doesn't overfill it.
No, I think he just has a great bite and a lot of patience. Wait, what am I Googling?
What does Matt Damon eat for lunch?
He just, I don't know. There's
Can
a
we
lot
start
of
a Twitter campaign? We got our show, we got our pilot shot. I want to know what Matt Damon eats for lunch.
Is that crazy or
hashtag
bad?
What does Damon eat for lunch?
What, it doesn't.
Actually, we should have Matt in it.
Mr. Damon, I just want to see you eat a sandwich. But there's lots of stuff that I'm like, I'm carrying three bags and it's spilling over, or I have a bad umbrella.
Like, oh, Matt Damon wouldn't have this third bag.
Right. What would Matt Damon is never like on his, like, trying to grab something out of the back of his car and he can't reach for it.
Right. Do you think Matt Damon's ever like gotten out of his car, then realized he forgot his cell phone in the car, then went back in to get the cell phone and then shut the door and realized, oh, fuck, my keys are in there?
No, Matt Damon wouldn't do that.
Yeah, he's got it so together.
Do you think Matt Damon's ever, like, dropped a chapstick below the seat, like, in between the seat and the door, and he, like, can't reach for it, so he has to open the back seat? Like, but he's standing in traffic, and his door's open and cars are honking at him?
Right, and he also, like, has to pee really, really bad while this is all happening, and he, like, squirts just a little bit into his pants.
No.
So now it's like he's got like just wet pants for the rest of the day.
That wouldn't happen.
That wouldn't happen to Matt Damon.
Or like, how do you think Matt Damon, like, when sometimes I travel and I have a roller, but also a suit and also a bag filled with food for the plane.
Right.
So I'm like holding the suit, I'm holding the carry-on, and then like the plastic bag is starting to rip and I look like I don't have my shit together.
Right.
What would Matt Damon do? Yeah. What does he do to make that not happen? Does he not have food on the plane? Maybe he doesn't have to carry food on.
He probably rides first class, so he's like, oh, they'll give me a meal.
Yeah, so he doesn't have to carry a plastic bag that's really thin with Sabra hummus and pretzel chips, a fruit salad, and a bottle of water.
Yeah.
That's
true.
That's true. What else does Matt Damon not do? What else do you do in life that you're like, how does Matt Damon do? Oh, when I brush my teeth, there's like lots of toothpaste that drips out of my mouth, so I have to do it over the sink, kind of going in line with the food thing.
Not very good at keeping your mouth shut.
That's what it is.
That's what
does Matt Damon sleep with his mouth open? Does Matt Damon snore? Matt Damon's the kind of guy that brushes his teeth with a regular toothbrush Then he just spits into the sink and he's done.
Yeah.
Like, I have to wash out. I have to rinse.
Matt Damon could be like, walking around in his kitchen, putting a pot of coffee on while he's brushing his teeth.
Yeah.
Quick into the bathroom. Yeah. Just like, spit.
Yeah. And then it's all like, spit once and all of the toothpaste is out.
No, I have to rinse more than once.
Yeah, exactly. So what is Damon? What's Damon hiding, man? How does he do it?
He's a Scientologist.
And that's what we're trying to tell
clear.
You. And that's the point of this show. We're trying to tell you guys, you can also attain this level of Damon.
You have to pay us money. we should start our own religion called Damonism.
Damonism?
Satan worshipers, they pray to demons. Well, we pray to Damon.
Uh-huh. So, WW Matt Damon do.
Yeah.
And then, like, we would try to just...
How does Matt Damon do? How does Matt Damon do?
I bet Matt Damon has a watch.
You think he has a watch?
Yeah, I don't think he's ever, like, fumbling for his phone to check the time.
Do you think his phone is ever at, like, 2% and he has to ask a friend, like, or ask a restaurant, like, hey, can you charge my phone?
Yeah, never. Never. I bet he never has that. He's just like, it dips below 60%. Yeah, I bet he... for sure. Damon, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Do you think Damon ever, like, puts his socks on, but, like, not really well? So, like, the heel part that's a different color is, like, at the top, and you can sort of see it? Or his socks are always, like, perfectly aligned like this?
Yeah, they're probably always perfect.
Do you think Damon unlaces his shoes before he puts them in, or does he just slide into them like this? Like, he, like, pounds down until his feet are in.
I bet he sits down.
Unties.
I don't think he unties, because that's not very efficient. That's not very Damon-like. But can't you see Damon? He sits down, unties his shoes, and then he's not Mr. Rogers. He's Matt Damon.
But can't you see Damon, like, lacing up, like, a tough boot? Like, one firm yank, and he's laced up.
No, that's pretty true.
Yeah. I didn't think of that. I didn't think of him lacing it up, like, with one firm.
Well, I didn't think of boots, dude.
Of course Damon's got boots, man. What do you think? Damon just has Birkenstocks or Crocs?
I thought maybe he'd have like a sleek pair of Nikes just for shopping. Just
I can
for,
see
like,
that.
Running to the store. He's not going to boot up.
Yeah, or he goes to like the Laker game. He like puts on some Nikes and a Celtics hat. Yeah, of course he's got the
Celtics
baseball.
Hat.
Yeah, Celtics hat because he's from Boston.
Right. That's nice.
That's another thing South Damon would do. You think Damon burps, Matt Damon?
I bet he does like very, very quietly. And it's like just, you know, not a public like belch, but just like a...
Oh, almost he does like a hiccup.
You know, like sometimes when you burp and you feel really, really, really great afterwards?
Yeah.
I bet it's like that. It's just like he does like a little burp to himself, blows it to the side, nothing. And then it's just like, wow, my chest feels light.
I think he does the half hiccup burp. So like he'll be finishing a meal and he'd be like, sorry. Like that's his burp.
Oh, and he'd still apologize. Yeah. Even though there was nothing to be sorry.
Right, exactly. That is very cool. Of course you don't have to apologize, Matt Damon.
Mr. Matt Damon, please don't apologize. Be yourself. I encourage you. I asked you here because I want to be your friend and learn how you do things.
Actually, in addition to you being yourself, I'd also like to be yourself. Yeah. So I think you could start a religion where everyone tries to be yourself. Don't be yourself. Be Matt Damon's self. That's the perfect you. Person. Always ABD.
Always be Damon.
Always be Damon. Always be Damon.
Do you think Damon lives in Raven Nest?
Matt Damon?
Yeah.
That's a great question. Raven Nest is Matt Damon's weekend home.
Amazing.
So like when he's out and he doesn't want to deal with traffic, he'll sort of like chill out.
I summer he'll in the Garden of Eden. It's my pied-à-terre.
He will spend a weekend or a two-week hiatus in Raven Nest.
Wow.
That's right.
Very professional.
And he deserves to be in Raven Nest.
Very sleek.
And we do not deserve to be in Raven Nest. I can't stress enough how we weren't even given a counter offer to Raven Nest.
Yes.
Because that would entail that we were negotiating for Raven Nest.
The owner didn't even want to speak to us.
That's right. We approached a Rolls-Royce dealership and said, I will take one. I will give you a leaf for it. Yeah. And they didn't even want to entertain the idea of accepting.
We were like a homeless person babbling. That's what we were.
At the heels of Raven Nest. So to wrap up this little intro, we eat poorly, we are homeless, we are not Damon, and we have not yet received Raven Nest.
We will be on Damon status. We will be Damon level. How can you be Matt Damon? Who can be Matt Damon but Matt Damon? And can we achieve Damon?
This is you talking to like to 3,000 people at a super church rally. Now, how can you be Matt Damon? All right. Should we take a break?
Is it time?
Just about. All right, we'll take a break. Take one sponsor, and then we'll actually give people advice. Only on If I Were You.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow. Very excited.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content, you download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later, you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022. Mm-hmm.
You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's going to happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app
That
finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, this, that, and the other, and then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly right.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what you saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month.
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, quasi-legal,
kind of
dangerous subscriptions that Rocket Money found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Oh, yeah.
That's rocketmoney.com/segments. rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Rocket Money. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar. But for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah. Kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress, and all mattresses come with a 10 or 15-year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz, and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20. All one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
This episode comes out after our Australia tour, but we're recording it before. So who knows what will have happened?
We are leaving tonight on a red eye.
That's right.
We both may die from an Ambien overdose.
I decided not to take Ambien.
Coward.
I'm afraid to take Ambien.
Okay, so I'm sorry to call you a coward. I don't want to tease you if you actually are afraid.
Well, I'm afraid to take this medicine that I've never taken. On an airplane. What a dangerous situation.
It's just a sleeping pill.
Yeah, but what if one time out of 100 some shit goes wrong? That's not a risk I'm willing to take. I think I could sleep well with just some Nike. I'm gonna pop some Nikes.
Don't try to make NyQuil sound cool.
Pop a Nike, I'm sweating. What do you think Damon takes? Of course Damon doesn't need help.
He's always well rested. He just closes his eyes and falls asleep peacefully.
How do you think he sleeps on an airplane? Arms folded, mouth closed, chin down?
Yeah, I bet he...
A lowered
baseball
hat.
Well, he's obviously in first class. You have to remember that he's rich. So, like, you're already... He's not dealing with the same problems that you necessarily
are. But, like, let's say on LA to New York.
Coach, yeah. So you're... You have a limited recline.
Of course.
Damon's got a full...
I got 30 degrees of pitch.
He's got a flat bed.
But not necessarily on a domestic flight.
What domestic...
LA to New York doesn't necessarily have 180 degree flat beds.
On all the Delta flights they do. On the JetBlue first class they do. That's enough. You better believe that if he's taking a red eye, which
I bet Damon's not doing a red eye
across the country like that, okay? And if he does, then he'll make sure he has a flatbed. Or I'm sure he's flying fucking private. You insult the very essence that is Matt Damon when you say, how do you sleep on your domestic flight when you're flying American Airlines and your layover's in Chicago? You know, how do you sleep? Like, what the fuck are you even talking about?
Why are you mad?
Because you insult him.
I do not insult.
You're flippant.
You're being
He doesn't
glib.
Deserve your flippant. He doesn't deserve your glib. It's catty. It's tacky.
It's neither of those.
It
things.
Is. It's petty.
All I said is, how do you think he sleeps on flights?
You assumed a lot. And when you,
I think you're assuming
you assume,
a lot.
You make an ass out of yourself.
And
man.
Damon. You assume Matt Damoning. And when you assume Matt Damon.
You make an ass out of you, but never Matt Damon.
For he is unassable. arms folded.
How do I think he sleeps? I think he sleeps just fine.
He does.
And I think you don't need to worry about it.
You think he snores? Definitely not.
No, he's a very peaceful sleeper.
For he has just the sweetest dreams. All right.
We got time for one question?
No, maybe. No, we got time for more. I'm Snapchatting now. That's a thing that's happening.
Yeah.
So if you have Snapchat, if I haven't given up on Snapchat, my name is Amir Bloom, BLOOM.
And he is looking for dick pics.
The more the hairier.
We just gave out my Snapchat as well.
JakeDeMan85.
I was going to say, but you can't hear it unless you subscribe to the newsletter.
All right.
But, yeah.
I can always bleep it. I can always get you a lot.
No, because I want the dick pics too.
All right. We need a guy's name. Bourne? What's Bourne's name?
Jason Bourne.
Jason Bourne.
Who's cooler, Matt Damon or Jason Bourne?
Probably Matt Damon.
Because he has a fucking writing Oscar. That's awesome.
Jason Bourne's just the fucking ninja.
And by the way, he's not real.
Who?
Jason Bourne.
Oh, of course, yeah.
So I'm saying Matt Damon is real.
Yeah, he has that going for him.
He has a leg up on him.
Plus, Damon's richer.
That's true.
I think, how much do you think Jason Bourne gets if you're like a assassin in a...
Well, he had like actually unlimited money because he was sort of like a secret like government op thing. So he did have a lot of...
How does that work? You have a bank account. You
go to the ATM.
Jason Bourne?
Yeah. Well, he had a lot of different aliases and different names, but he had like lots of cash and money in all these accounts. Yeah, it was actually pretty cool.
Does he have a 401k? I'm just worried that Jason Bourne isn't worrying about the future.
He's not thinking about longevity and retiring.
Let's say at age 65 when he can't kick butt anymore, does he have a nest egg?
I don't know.
Is he investing?
That's a good question. He knows how to live off the grid.
That's true. All right. So this is what Jason Bourne writes. Through some careless right swiping, I have matched with my ex-girlfriend on Tinder. We broke up 3 years ago after dating for 2 years. We were in high school and we dated and are in college now. So we started chatting and she told me that she's staying in the city where her college is for most of the summer, which is about an hour from where I live. She told me I should come visit sometime this summer and that she'd show me around the city. I can only imagine that she's thinking about hooking up, but maybe that's only because I am. So my first question is, do you think she has that on her mind? My second question is, should I do it? I don't really have anyone to date or hook up with in my hometown, so odds are it'll be kind of a dry summer. Our breakup was pretty clean, and I doubt she has any serious feelings for me, and I don't have any for her. Just good memories. And after the summer, I'll be back at school and have next to no chance of running into her. As you can tell, I've pretty much made up my mind and convinced myself I should do it, but I'd love to hear your thoughts either way. Much love, Jason Bourne.
He's already fucking her.
Yeah, this is way too late. We're recording this on June 1st. Comes out June 15th.
You are in a relationship with her by this point.
Oh, no. You're back together with your ex.
Somebody wouldn't know if this is on her mind. They met on Tinder.
And she says, and you have no friendship.
And they say, and she says, come visit. He's like, does she want to hook up with me?
Could that be the case?
Yes, I imagine it is.
Would you ever do that? Would you ever go back to the well? Have you ever slept with an ex-girlfriend yet again after years?
I don't think so. Oh, maybe. Eh. No.
Interesting, right?
Maybe. It's been rare.
Yeah.
I am bored by that. But I think it could be interesting. Like, I think here's what I would say. Your last ex-girlfriend, like if you just broke up with her, don't go back and sleep with her. But if there's like another ex or two in between,
yeah,
it might be kind of fun to revisit that.
It's the old like, I can only become friends with my second girlfriend if I'm done with my third.
I don't know that rule. I think that's yours.
That's right. That's a rule I made up. Like right. When I'm in my third girlfriend, I can't hang out with my second. I can only hang out with my first. There's got to be a buffer ex-girlfriend.
A buffer ex. I think if I was in a relationship with you and you were exercising that logic, it's not that normal for your partner. I think it's more normal, like you're saying, for you, right?
Yeah. I'm saying, so much time has passed. I've already had and lost another relationship. Now I can revisit the one before that.
Yeah, that's fair.
You need a buffer ex.
Yes.
I'm saying my ex needs to be buffer.
You wish.
Yeah. She needs to be jacked. Yeah. I want her to squat, deadlift me.
Like Jason Bourne himself.
Jason Bourne in a wig, ideally. So you would not sleep with an ex?
No, if there was an ex in between, I would.
Like right now, there are ex-girlfriends. They'd be like, yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. But not, I wouldn't necessarily. I don't know. What's the point of sleeping with someone that you know you already had her, you already went through that, and now you're going back? Doesn't that seem like you're regressing?
I think as long as he doesn't get back into a relationship with this person, because he also doesn't want to be in like a long-distance relationship.
But he's risking it.
Hooking up. 3 years, especially, and also people changed so much since high school. They might not have even slept together in high school.
Holy shit. So how about if you've never slept with her, you should. And if you have, then don't.
That's your advice, not mine.
That's mine.
Okay.
That's my advice.
All right.
That way, like if you sleep with her now, it won't even affect your number. And at that point, what are you doing it for?
What are you if you're not the number?
If you're not getting that attaboy, why shoot a basket if you know it goes in and it won't count?
Yeah, a fucking notch on a bedpost. I have a tattoo, a hash mark for every, I can't even finish it.
I'm too full. Yeah, that's my advice. If you've already slept with her and you've already been there and you've already experienced her, why don't you spend your time and energy and effort focusing on finding a new lady?
And I don't think that the two are mutually exclusive. I think you could go visit your ex-girlfriend and have sex with her, and you could focus on having sex with other people. You know, get it while the getting's good, I say.
So you're saying any sex is good sex?
Yes, I would say that.
So like having sex with someone that you've had sex with before is still better than not having sex at all.
Yeah. Well, and especially if you haven't done it for a while, it'll probably be different.
Yeah.
She's experienced other things and you've experienced other things, so maybe the sex will be even better.
How about if you haven't slept with someone in 5 years and you do it again, you get to add it to the number. Give
you're
me the number.
With your number.
I really need the add a number.
You're also a virgin.
So you're talking about the difference between 0 and 1, which I get is a pretty big deal.
For you.
All right. That was short and easy. Let's see if we can answer one more before we have to go. We have to catch a flight.
That's amazing.
We have to catch a flight to Australia.
Let's do it.
Oh, here's one about international travel.
Cool.
It's from a lady.
All right.
Does Matt Damon ever play a lady in a movie?
Doesn't he?
Was he Mrs. Doubtfire?
That is what I was thinking of.
You were thinking of Mrs. Doubtfire and you thought Matt Damon
I was trying to, I was like racking my brain and I kept on picturing
him in drag.
Yeah. But wait, let me look. I want to look it up.
Matt Damon as a woman would probably be pretty attractive, right? Just because Matt Damon is a good-looking human.
Agreed.
There's no way he played a woman in drag. I mean, what about the closest that he did was doing an entire movie as Greg Kinnear's Siamese twin?
Oh, yeah. He has a sense of humor. Yeah. That's kind of fun.
That's
Yeah, no, it doesn't seem like he's played a woman.
All right. What's his name in the Adjustment Bureau? Or give me a good character name on his IMDb.
LaBeef in True Grit.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
His name is it's just LaBeef.
Those Coen brothers still got it.
Everybody's name is pretty funny in this.
What is there?
Rooster Cogburn, LaBeef, Lucky Ned Pepper. Pretty cool.
All right. Ready?
Nope. Yeah.
Now you're just watching the trailer.
He was good in this one.
Have you seen True Grit?
Yeah, it was great.
All right. Hey, guys, I need your help. I met these guys traveling, and they were just normal American guys from what I can tell. I'm from England. Anyway, long story short, and we were all sitting around this hostel in Croatia enjoying a nice big bowl of pesto pasta, telling stories about ourselves and getting to know each other when, bam, as if it was no big deal, they started telling me the story about how three of them gangbanged some fat mother of three in Iceland. It was so unexpected. These guys seemed moderately normal when you spoke to them. We carry on talking, and this wasn't a one-time thing. They have various gangbangs all over Europe on their travels. I like the guys and found them hilarious, but should I go and stay with them if I go to America, or do you think that's a terrible idea? Basically, can you trust a gangbanger? Love, LaBeef.
Oh, I was really ready to forgive them if they'd only done it once.
Yeah.
It seems kind of sadistic in a weird way that it's just like a couple friends who have been involved in several gangbangs.
The first time I read this, it read as an unwanted sex thing, but gangbang doesn't necessarily mean that, right?
Of course, yeah. If it was the other way around, they should be rounded up and killed.
Right. So this is a purely consensual situation where they're just group fucking a woman.
So I that makes me sort of be like, that's not that big of a deal as long as everybody involved, like, you know, then you're judging people for their sexual preferences.
Yeah, which these people are it's a little odd.
It's definitely a strange fetish to have.
They have group, basically.
I can't come unless my two boys are.
Yeah, basically it's a group sex session, but it's only, what's the difference between a gangbang and an orgy? Is it just one woman and the rest guys?
I'm sure it's so nuanced that you probably use both. But yeah, when you say gangbang, I think it's one woman and lots of men.
Okay, so as a single lady, would you say it's okay for this girl to trust her intuition and travel with these guys who she says are hilarious? Or should she be like, no, I'm not traveling. I can't trust these gangbangers.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, I wonder if it was my sisters or something, I'd be like, don't do that. But I don't know. I'm more judgmental and protective about them.
Right.
It seems like this is a situation where she should, you know, go with her gut. And if she's like, I don't like this, I don't know if I should go travel with them, then maybe don't.
Yeah, I guess if it's just like a seemingly innocuous sexual fetish that they have, then it's not that much different than, oh, these three guys have slept with the same girl.
Right, as long as they're not pressuring you to do anything.
Like, why should it be any different that it's happening at the same time? Like, what if they're like, oh, these three guys slept with the same girl in Iceland, and then later on they slept with the same girl in Florence, and then in Rome, and then in Paris.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that's a little weird, but it's not threatening. But the fact that they did it all at the same time feels like kind of a vague threat.
Well, gangbang also sounds violent.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, that's what you call someone that has nothing to do with sex. You say, oh, that guy's a gangbanger. That just means he's in a gang.
And like bang, bang.
Yeah.
Like a shoot 'em up sound.
Yeah, exactly.
We should call it group love.
Yeah, these group lovers. Suddenly it's not that dangerous seeming.
Right. As long as they're not trying to get you to do anything that you don't want to do.
Yeah.
They're normal and fun in person. And also that the stories are like at least moderately respectful of the people. I guess it sounds like they're not, if they're like this fat mother in Iceland. They kind of sound like assholes, actually. I'm going back and forth. I think these guys suck.
But can you hang out with guys that suck? Can you trust guys that suck? As long as they suck in a specific way that doesn't threaten you, I think you can.
Right.
Follow your heart.
Follow your heart, indeed.
W.W. Matt Damon did. All right. Thank you for writing in. If you have your own questions or your own theme song submissions, that email address is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The opening theme song was written by Pierre, a French-Canadian reggae artist. And this last one is Gareth, who made us a Rather Be parody.
Very nice. Hey, do you think Matt Damon ever like has a sort of like a card where he uses like to get punches, like
no,
I'm not even done, so like 10 punches you get a free coffee, and then like he'll lose the card and they'll get a new one, so he's just got like 8 different cards with 3 punches on them,
and he'll
walk in and he'll say, hey, can I just like add these up, and they're like, no sir, they all have to be on the same card,
right?
Like,
yeah,
oh, Jesus,
it's like, oh, so I'll just pay full price for the 11th Robex juice. Yeah, no, I don't think that's ever happened to Damon.
Me either.
That's awesome. Damon, you rule, man. All right, we'll be back in a week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Bye.
So you're stuck and need some answers, but you've got no one to turn to. So you email these two divas, whose show's called If I Were You. You tune into the podcast to see if yours gets through. And you start to get excited, 'cause Ben Schwartz is with them too. Each question that they take, with every name that's fake, hoping that your one's next. But as Amir and Jake are going to undertake reading the next email, Ben says, firstly though, can I ask you a question? Sure, Amir says, and laughs at this gesture. 40 minutes go by, how the time flew. Now it's all over till next week's If I Were You. No, 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 no. How could I not get through? No, 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 no. Please tell me what to do. No, no, no. Now I'm completely screwed.